If he says he wants to meet me, then no. Well, I haven't got the right clothes.
Previously.
What's been done to her? Her face? What's the matter with her face?
The victim is missing a number of lower internal organs. What with this and the blood draining, it looks more likely that your killer has surgical experience.
It was called the Black Dahlia case. She was murdered in Los Angeles in 1947. Her killer was never found.
We've got a copycat. We've got to find him.
Another body.
It's Sharon Bilkin.
Every time this woman's called in, Sam's scared, but she said she knows who the killer is.
Charles Henry Wickenham.
A smartly dressed man.
Did your father ever entertain young girls like these, Emily?
Daddy is always having weekend parties, but I don't go. We don't particularly like each other.
Look the type. Daddy likes them young and tarty.
It is imperative that you have enough evidence to arrest him. He has some very influential friends.
So perhaps the best solution would be if you agreed to come to an identity parade.
Handsome Charles, who's in his 50s, smiles and nods. Kelly Riley, Kieran Hines, Sean Dingwell, Celine Jones, Michelle Holmes, Amanda Lawrence. Charles drives a 4x4, he wears shades. He parks outside the police station, gets out and takes off his shades. Simon Williams, Sylvia Sims, Edward Bennett. Above suspicion, the Red Dahlia. In the station.
Thank you very much for coming in, Mr. Wickenham.
I knew this identity parade would be a waste of time. I apologise for not getting back to you sooner with the addresses for you to check out. The perils of no longer having a secretary. Would later today be acceptable?
As soon as possible, please, and we'll need to have your fingerprints taken.
We'll also need your ex-wife's details.
What on earth for?
This procedure. If you care to accompany me back to the incident room, we can make it as fast as convenient as possible.
I'll do it now. Don't have time to waste here.
Commander Jane Lee enters.
Is DCI Langton in?
Yes, ma'am, he's in his office.
Coffee, please.
To DC Anna Travis.
Have these two, I'll get a refill. Right, thanks. Pushy, isn't she?
Outside, Travis and Langton.
He's got an alibi for Louise Penn's murder. Not one of your eyewitnesses could identify him.
I know he's the killer, Jane, and we'll get him.
You need evidence.
Barbara.
Inside.
The commander in Langton. You know,
you'd be surprised what I'd do for a phone tap. Never mind round-the-clock surveillance and six extra officers.
Travis Gorps, Lee and Langton in bed together.
Look, this is a bit unethical.
Yeah, well, we can work round it.
I meant giving you this.
She hands him a file. He looks through it.
It's Wickenham's ex-wife and her early career.
A mugshot, a photo of her in a tiny dress soliciting business from a passing car. He studies a page of writing.
I love you.
Of course you do.
Travis at home. She goes to answer the door in a beige nightdress.
Put the coffee on, there's been a development. Emily rang Justine late last night. First they talked about contacting the mother, maybe why she'd arrived suddenly from Milan. And Justine asked Emily if she told us anything, and Emily got hysterical.
I want some toast.
You want anything on your toast?
No. So, Emily is getting more and more distressed. Oh, well, I might have some of that. And then she goes on to say that she wished she'd gone through with it and made him pay for what he did to her. And Justine, she's still trying to calm her sister down, says that's why she protected her, because he constantly tried to do the same to her.
Do what to her?
Best bit. Emily starts yelling, saying it was her he did the abortion to.
What?
Langton nods.
He operated on his own daughter. Wait, unless it was the brother.
The father's the surgeon, Travis.
Travis hurries over to a table and picks up a hard-backed book.
Black Dahlia suspect was taken to court by his own daughter, accusing him of rape.
Yes. That's why I want you privy to all of this. His ex-wife stood by him and all charges were dropped. And as we're about to meet the ex-Mrs. Wickenham, it could be useful.
Travis's eyes rove in thought.
So, go and get dressed. You'll leave in 10 minutes.
It's not even 8.
Langton uses an electric razor to shave.
Did you not get home last night?
Outside.
Do you know how much it is for 10 ruddy minutes?
Langton puts money into a parking meter. Travis is now dressed in a smart skirt suit. They enter a grand building with a geometric marble floor.
Travis.
A maid shows them into a sitting room.
Mrs. Wickenham will be with you shortly. She was not expecting you until later on this morning. May I offer you coffee?
No thanks.
Baroli knocks on a door.
Hey! You're not allowed into my flat!
I'm afraid you have no option, Miss Wickenham.
Now get out of my way!
Justine hits Baroli hard across the face with a riding crop. She looms over stocky little Baroli. At Mrs. Dominique Wickenham's, Langton stares at a portrait of a young aristocratic woman with a spaniel. He checks his watch. Travis is examining her plush surroundings.
Good morning.
I hope this is important.
It is, yes.
Travis shows her photos.
Would you please take a look at these photographs?
Two young women, one with a 40s hairdo.
Do you recognise either of these girls?
No.
She hands back the photos with a smile.
This is a sketch of a man who's suspected in the murder of those girls.
Travis hands her the sketch.
I thought it was my husband.
Yes, there's a remarkably close resemblance. It was compiled by witnesses who saw the man with both victims. Your husband was a surgeon, is that right?
Ex-husband. We're divorced.
Can you confirm that Justine was in Milan on June 15th?
Yes, she was. They come and stay with me as often as possible.
They don't stay at the Hall with their father?
No. No, they don't get along. He can be very strict. And you know, girls will be girls.
What about your stepson?
Edward? He's a very sweet boy. Very much under his father's thumb.
Can you tell me about his wife? She committed suicide?
Yes. It was very sad. She suffered from depression.
Were you ever questioned during a police inquiry regarding your youngest daughter?
I'm sorry?
Emily made an allegation against her father, your ex-husband, for alleged rape.
No. No, that was very wretched and not true. There were never any charges. Emily is highly strung, and she has a very vivid imagination.
So, the operation.
What operation?
The abortion.
She's making up stories.
Is it possible that your ex-husband could have terminated Emily's pregnancy without your knowledge?
There was no pregnancy.
He received a phone call that named your ex-husband as the killer of those two women, and it's possible that the call came from your daughter, Emily.
The maid's listening.
I think that perhaps you should speak to me through a solicitor.
Excuse me. May I use your bathroom?
Yes, on the left down the hall.
Travis goes into a room where the maid is hanging up clothes.
Excuse me.
The maid glances up.
I know you were listening.
Travis steps into the room.
I know why you are here. Is Emily ill again? Poor child.
What's that?
An envelope under her arm.
If she sees me give you anything, she will kill me.
The maid eyes Travis gravely, then takes the envelope from under her arm.
Don't let her see it, please. Wait until you go.
I promise.
She gives Travis the envelope.
Thank you.
So, your ex-husband, how much is he paying you?
My divorce settlement is my business. Now I insist you leave. Both of you.
Yeah, but you expect to be paid a lot for being such an admirable and caring ex-wife.
That's enough.
One more thing. Before you were married, what did you do for a living?
What does that have to do with anything?
It's just that you lie so beautifully, I wanted to hear what you'd say.
First you insinuate things about my family, and then you accuse me of lying.
You were an exotic dancer! Right, not only that, but you have a police record in Marseille. Did Charles hire you? I know he has a predilection for prostitutes, and I also suspect he couldn't keep his hands off his own daughter!
Get out! Get out!
Exotic dancer, who's your source?
Oh, you'd be surprised what Commander Lee can do.
They're in the car. Travis glances at him, then reaches up under her coat.
What are you doing?
She hands him the envelope.
You'd be surprised at what I can do.
Langdon takes it and frowns.
It's from the maid.
Langdon takes photos out of the envelope and studies them.
Jesus Christ.
He inspects the photos.
Pull over.
She does as he says. A photo of Edward and Dominique sharing a kiss.
Edward and Dominique.
you found this.
A younger Justine in S&M gear.
Justine.
Charles sits in the background.
Daddy too.
An S&M orgy. Charles watches. Justine snorts drugs off a table. Gail spanks a man, whilst another woman plays with Gail's hair. Dominique and Edward sit next to one another. Edward reclines. Dominique lies down next to him. She strokes his face and kisses him, running her hand down his torso. He feels her breast, which is covered in a tight black latex nightie. Charles is on the phone to Edward.
I bloody said there was something wrong last time I had him out. Why can't you do a simple thing like get the vet to him? He's lame now, much worse than he was, and that's down to your stupidity. Why can't you just do as I tell you?
I have to go and collect Gail.
Well, why can't she get a car to get herself home? She's a bloody liability. What she needs is therapy, not a few weeks in a health spa.
You keep her in line, Edward. You give her too much rope.
Mind you, if you gave her any more, she'd probably hang herself. This is a stupid bitch.
She wants me to marry her. She's very nervous, and I'm...
I'm worried. I think perhaps I should go ahead with it. You do whatever you have to do.
She has to be controlled.
The phone's tapped. Charles hears a glitch. At the police station, they're listening in. Charles smiles to himself.
We've been listening in to Wickenham's calls, but I think he's onto us. This just came in.
In CID...
I need to talk to you, Charles, so don't ring on the floor. The police were asking me a lot of questions...
Give me a minute, I'll call you back. Not on the landline.
For heaven's sakes, why not?
I can't talk to you at the house.
D.I. Lewis nods.
That's it.
Didn't take her long, did it? Barbara, can you get me a chicken and cheese toastie? No tomatoes. And some coffee.
Right.
I want you to go back to Emily Wickenham. Listen to this. It's pretty obvious she's flying close to the edge, so see what you can get out of her.
All right, well, I'll listen to it on the way.
Travis spots Paroli with a big scratch on his cheek.
God, what happened to you?
I got in the way of Justine Wickenham's riding crop.
Lewis glances at tight-lipped Paroli. In the car, Travis listens.
Refuse to speak to them from now on. Otherwise terrible things will happen.
After what he did to me, there's nothing anyone could do that would be worse.
She climbs the stairs in a shabby-looking building.
You are not seeing my sister, do you hear?
Stop!
I'm warning you!
Stop!
Justine punches Travis, drops of blood from upstairs.
Emily! Emily!
Justine darts upstairs. Emily's body lies limp in a bath. Bloodied water is overflowing.
Emily! Oh, God, no! No!
She pulls Emily upwards. There's a big slash on Emily's wrist.
What do I do? What do I do? Oh, please.
Travis helps her.
It's Emily. I've had Justine on the phone.
What's the silly cow done now?
Tried to kill herself.
Get her back in the clinic. Stupid bitch making up stories about me.
Dad, I don't know how much more of this I can take. Justine said that they were searching the stables.
So what? They'll come here next. They have nothing. Do you hear nothing?
But...
Don't make me angry, son. Please don't.
Edward stares at him wide-eyed, then makes off.
Edward...
He stops and turns back.
Tell Emily I love her.
Edward leaves. At the hospital, Langton studies Travis's bruised face.
What happened to you?
It's fine. It's Justine. She didn't want me to see her. She's in with Emily.
Justine comes out of a hospital room and clutches her head in her hands.
I hope you are satisfied. You know what you'll do to her now? I have her sectioned again.
Who are you, Father?
Who do you think? And I forbid allowing anyone in to see her. Especially you.
G.I.'s Travis, the station, a website, the Black Dahlia case, a photo of the glamorous victim.
This call's just come in from Edward to his girlfriend Gail Harrington.
Darling, there's a change of plan. I have something to do for my father.
But you knew what time I was leaving. I'm all packed and waiting.
Wait, that's the woman that called the station.
Your father to do whatever he needs to.
Joan, isn't that her?
It just makes you run around.
You should have taken that first bloody call, Joan.
I have to go to the cars on this one.
A car pulls up outside Edward's cottage. Edward shows Langton, Travis and Lewis in.
Well, what can I do for you?
We just want a few words with you and your girlfriend.
She's upstairs, resting. But I'd prefer it if you came back, actually.
Travis heads upstairs.
Gail's not been well. She's very frail.
Well, B.C. Travis will go and talk to her and save her the trouble of coming down.
But you were here before my father talked to you.
And now I want to talk to you. You have a close relationship with your stepmother.
Edward's eyes goggle.
I would say it was a lot closer than could be considered normal.
Langton shows Edward the photo of the two of them. Slipped upstairs, she spies Gail on her bed looking at headshots of herself.
Gail? Hello, I'm DC Travis.
Why do you want to see me?
I think you know.
Gail shakes her head.
No, I don't.
Travis purses her lips and steps closer to Gail.
Are you a model?
Yes. Just sorting out the best pictures from my portfolio.
The bed's strewn with photos.
May I?
Please.
Travis sits on the edge of the bed.
Can I have a look?
Of course.
She takes an album of Gail in different poses.
You're very beautiful.
Thank you. That was the cover of a magazine.
She points at a smiling photo.
See, I recognise your voice. I'm the officer you spoke to when you called the incident room.
Travis carries on perusing. Gail blinks and tucks her hair behind her ear nervously.
You must be mistaken. I've never spoken to you.
A photo of Gail and another woman. In real life, Gail has a large bruise around her eye.
Gail, what's happened to your face?
Gail stares down.
Nothing. It's not what you think. I fell over.
Travis picks up her bag from the floor and pulls out some photos. She shows her the photos of the two girls, one remarkably similar to the black dahlia.
Do you recognise either of these girls?
Gail shakes her head.
No. I make things up. My doctor will tell you.
Look at the photograph of this young woman. Her name is Sharon Bilkin. She was a model too. She was murdered, Gail.
I don't know her. I don't know anything.
This is Sharon in the photograph with you, Gail. This is Sharon Bilkin, the girl that was murdered. This is her. You're lying to me. You know her.
Gail takes her photo album and closes it.
Okay.
Gail collapses into Travis's arms. Lewis stands in the doorway and eyes them with trepidation. He heads off. Downstairs.
You can't force me to implicate myself.
Don't protect him. If he killed these two girls. You want to see how he found them?
No, I really think someone should be with me.
In case you implicate yourself?
No.
In case you implicate your father?
No.
We know about your stepsister. About Emily's termination. Was it your child or your father's that was aborted?
I can't take any more of this.
Then stop it. Tell us what you know.
Please. Please, you don't know what he's capable of.
But you do, don't you?
Langton gazes at him.
Capable of slicing a girl's body in two, draining her blood, subjecting her to hours of torture. Look at the photograph.
Please.
Langton opens a file to reveal photos of the corpse of a girl, her mouth sliced at either side. Edward puts a hand over his mouth. He leans face down on the table.
Let's go.
Langton gets up. Lewis gathers up the files.
Travis!
At the main house.
Detective Travis would like to talk to your housekeeper, if that's all right.
Why?
Just to corroborate a few things.
Charles holds up a hand.
No, thank you. I remember the way.
Mind if we sit down?
Travis heads off.
Do you mind if I stand?
Travis finds the housekeeper polishing candlesticks.
Mrs. Hedges.
Hedges doesn't look up.
Mrs. Hedges.
Finally, she looks up.
So sorry, dear. I didn't hear you. I'm a bit deaf in this ear. Oh, would you like a cup of tea?
Oh, no, thank you. May I?
Travis sits opposite her at the table.
I don't usually wear gloves, but newsprint comes off on my hands, hard to wash off. Tricks of the trade. I don't use silver polish. Just water, a drop of vinegar. Amazing the shine you get.
It looks lovely.
Hedges smiles proudly.
Does Mr. Wickenham entertain a lot?
Well, he used to. When Mrs. W was around, the second one, she was a right party creature.
Did you meet a lot of the guests?
No. And they brought staff in, chefs and all that. Used to stay in my room. I haven't been here a long while. Ever since Edward was a toddler.
The girls.
Well, I miss them when they're not here. They keep in touch.
She smiles again.
Emily calls me Nana.
Emily just attempted suicide. She has done so before, apparently.
I used to hear her crying. I should have gone to her when I knew what was going on.
Hedges furrows her brow.
Do you recognise anyone in these photographs? I believe they were taken here.
Langton lays down photos on the table.
Yes, we do have fun here sometimes.
The S&M party.
But what happens in the privacy of one's own home is exactly that. Private.
Your son and your ex-wife also enjoyed some fun.
Why not? They're consenting adults.
Your daughter, Justine?
She's over 18. No one ever forced her into anything.
We have a witness who says Louise Pennell was here the weekend before her murder. And Sharon Bilken knew your son's fiancée. Her body was found in a field nearby.
Not one of mine, I hope. Excuse me. Yes?
Langton glares at him.
One moment. Private matter needs my urgent attention. So, if there's nothing else...
You ever heard of the case of the Black Dahlia, Mr.
Black Dahlia? No, I don't think I've heard of her. Should I have?
Charles saunters off. Outside, Langton urinates in some bushes. Lewis and Travis wander across the lawn towards him. They stop and stare.
What's he doing?
It's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Lewis glances at her with a frown.
Where the hell's Baroli?
Dunno, he's probably taking a slash in the bushes.
You make any headway?
Oh, well, she's been very protective over the family until I pushed the right button.
Which button?
Emily Wickenham.
I've been over at the stables.
What for? To see the bloody horses?
No. The stable boy, Walter, who wasn't here when we interviewed the other lads, he reckons he did see Louise Pennell here on June the 13th.
Langton's thoughtful.
The day after she disappeared.
He rubs his nose.
Missing for 3 days. Found on the Monday. I could kiss you, Paul.
Langton hurries off. Baroli laughs to himself.
That's all I need.
Squad cars and vans trail down the pathway towards Charles's house. There's a lorry with a crane on it at the end. The place crawls with police officers.
Check out the barn, the cottage, the stables, the paddock and the chapel, and also check the surrounding gardens and the outhouses. Get moving!
Langton approaches Charles, who's leaning in the doorway of the main house.
Charles Henry Wickenham. I'm arresting you on suspicion of the murders of Louise Pennell and Sharon Bilken.
Gail and Edward are led out of the cottage separately and into police vehicles.
Edward?
Get a uniform to sit in here with a mic. We're going to start in the bedrooms.
Plans for this place. So, part 16th century, extended in the late 19th century. There are four priest holes, one in the fireplace.
You'll find another one by the window in my study. Yeah,
thanks for your cooperation.
This is all rather costly, isn't it? In more ways than one. When you eventually realise that I have absolutely nothing to do with these pitiful murders, you'll face a serious situation with regard to your career. I have some very influential contacts.
Yeah. And we have verification that Louise Pennell was here. You're a sick bastard. You'll enjoy watching you being put away for the rest of your life.
Really, will you pass me that pencil over there so I can get on with my crossword? The one with the eraser on the end. I should also like to speak to my son.
He's being held at the station, helping with our inquiry.
Langton walks away.
Tell Mrs. Hedges to prepare my lunch on your way out.
Keep an eye on him.
He leaves a uniformed officer guarding Charles, who sits on a chair, his hands cuffed together. An officer drives Carl's car up a ramp and onto the lorry. Travis sneaks up a narrow staircase. She finds Mrs. Hedges working in a room by herself.
Oh, hello, dear. How's Emily?
She's in a private hospital. Justine is with her. Mrs. Hedges, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to search your room.
Oh, that's all right, dear.
Hedges touches her hand to her forehead.
He had her locked up again, didn't he?
Travis turns to her. Hedges shakes her head and looks down.
We've come up empty-handed at the cottage.
Well, it's not looking good, and that bastard knows I'm asking about lunch.
Oh, we've organised a lunch at the pub for everyone.
Well, just keep going, Paul.
Some sandwiches.
Baroli and a team of Soccos are searching the chapel. In the main house, Charles eats his lunch, still handcuffed. Outside...
The forensics have just confirmed they found fibres in the back of the Land Rover. They're matching them with Louise's coat.
From his chair, Charles eyes a box of blue police overalls. He chews his food pensively. Langton stands in the hallway nearby. Travis marches up to him.
Sir, better come and have a look round the back of the chapel. They're opening up a manhole there.
Charles watches them as they head off. Baroli walks through the chapel by himself. He stops when he comes to a small altar with candles and a mini lectern on it, in front of a crucifix on the wall. Baroli crosses himself and leans on the altar. Outside is an area cordoned off and officers are digging. Baroli lifts a cover over the altar. He feels down the side and the whole of the front comes off. He pulls the front down and stares inside. He runs outside to the cordoned off area.
Gov! I think we've got something. Better come and look at this.
At the little altar...
It's dark. It's very dark.
Can we get some torches here?
Baroli crawls out of the space under the altar.
Maybe we just got lucky.
The bluish light of a torch penetrates the darkness under the altar. Langton crouches through a short narrow gap into a dungeon. There's a chain and manacles attached to the wall. He glances around. Travis follows him in. She gulps at the room. Travis is followed by Baroli. The room is dingy and dank, the walls are grabby and the floor is bare concrete. Back in the main house...
Take this, will you?
The uniformed officer comes over to collect his lunch tray. Charles stands and hits the officer over the head with it, then picks up a poker and whacks the officer hard over the back. In the dungeon, Baroli flicks a light switch. A light comes on. They gaze around. There's a tall, thin cage on the left. At the back of the room are shelves with several medicine bottles on them. There are stains on the walls. They step cautiously into an adjoining section of the room, the corner of which is decorated with pictures, newspaper clippings, and other articles all relating to the Black Dahlia case. There's a large picture of the dead woman's mutilated face and other pictures of her bloodied corpse. There's a photo of a girl with a knife to her face. Travis turns and stares in horror at another set of manacles hanging from the ceiling. By them is a tray full of surgical implements. Travis stands transfixed, her mouth agape. Images of the room flash and swirl before her eyes. The smiling mouth of the original Black Dahlia woman, Elizabeth Short, behind the table of surgical implements. On the table there is a scrubbing brush covered in blood.
He's gone. Wickenham's gone.
In the main house...
Well, he can't have got far. We've got the bloody place surrounded. How the hell did he get to do this to you?
They found blood, hair, skin, clogging the drains. A lot of blood traces down there.
Yeah, we've still got no trace of Wickenham. How could he just disappear with all those officers out there? We've checked by the gates, the stables, the paddock. Nobody's seen him.
Unless he was wearing one of these.
The blue overalls.
How could he get it on, Paul? He was bloody handcuffed!
At the police station, Joan hands Barbara a newspaper.
Still front page and in every paper.
The headline reads, Red Dahlia case suspect escapes. Barbara wears an anxious expression. In an interview room...
I was having my hair done. I honestly didn't recognise her. She came up to me as I was paying. She asked how I was. I told her I was engaged. She looked at my ring and then we walked out together. Charles was waiting for me. She seemed to know him.
Did Sharon return to the hall with you?
But I never saw her again.
So you never saw her again, but what? You drove all the way back to Mayling Hall with him and...
She sat in the front seat beside him.
Such a coincidence, isn't it? I mean, me meeting up with Gail and then Louise. I remember you used to call for her, didn't you? I'm right, aren't I? Was you?
I met her when I was looking for a secretary. I needed someone willing to travel abroad.
Pretty Sharon listens.
I have a house in the south of France, an apartment in Milan. At first I thought she would be suitable. Obviously, it was all the social side.
Charles eyes Sharon, who shrugs.
I can type.
Can you? She wasn't really sophisticated enough. It was very disappointing. Hope she wasn't too upset.
Well, she's dead. She was murdered. The police were asking me about the man she was seeing, which is you, but I never really met you, so...
Well, now you have. You can see why. Poor Louise didn't hit the post.
Sharon smiles uncertainly.
Tell me about her murder.
In the back of the car, a sombre Gail listens.
My client will answer your questions. However, he wishes to make it clear that he played no part in the murder of these two young women.
Yeah, and we know he's lying through his teeth. We found fibres from Louise Pennell's coat in your car, Mr. Wickenham. The same coat that was found covering Sharon Bilkin's body.
Edward?
My father asked if I would help. He said he'd been having sex with her and she'd suffocated.
Langton and Lewis listen.
He said it was an accident. He wanted me to move the body, leave it somewhere. I wouldn't look at her. She was wrapped in the coat.
So you just agreed? Agreed to move the body? You denied ever seeing Sharon Bilkin.
I never saw her face.
Edward has a crazed stare.
He said if I didn't do what he wanted, he'd force me and Gail to leave the estate. And you have no idea how powerful he is.
The lawyer turns to Edward.
We drove up to the field. He wanted to move further away from the hall, but we got bogged down in the mud. I was back in the car, turning around.
Edward's wheel spins in the mud, his vehicle's stuck. He looks around in panic. Rain beats down onto the windshield under the night sky. Charles bends over the corpse that he's dumped on a track through a field. He heads back to the car. He gets into the passenger seat, sodden.
Get this car valeted tomorrow, Edward. Do you hear me?
What did you do to her?
She won't be missed. I get back to the hall. Forget everything you've seen, Edward. Do you hear me?
Dear God.
Yes, dear God. As much dear God as I got when you cut your wife down from the rafters. We were both so into that little sex game she ended up hanging herself.
You know, he screwed with my wife until she was so crazed. Fed her drugs. She was so terrified of him, and he made me a part of it all too. Since I was 12, he's tormented me and fucked with my mind.
Edward stands.
Sit down, Mr. Wickenham. Sit down.
My father is a sick man, hell-bent on hurting anyone close to him. He destroyed his own daughters. And I know if I hadn't done what he wanted, he would have destroyed me too.
Can you tell us anything about your father's obsession with the Black Dahlia?
It was the fact the killer was never caught. That was his obsession, proving he would never be caught.
He presses his lips together.
And he hasn't been, has he?
Edward's lawyer turns to look at Langton, who looks grave and glum.
You will be charged with murder, Mr. Wickenham. And if you have any idea where or who is hiding your father, I would give it up if I were you.
Langton heads out and Lewis follows him. Edward hangs his head. Travis studies evidence in the incident room. There's a photo of Louise, who bears a strong resemblance to Elizabeth Short. She has long black hair and wears scarlet lipstick. There's also a photo of fair-haired Sharon. Charles stares into the distance thoughtfully. Louise, with her naturally fair hair, stands gazing out over the sea with a suitcase in her hand. The table of surgical instruments. Emily passing out in the bloody bath. Langton sits at his desk, lost in thought. Mrs. Hedges sits at home. She switches on a radio.
The mystery of the surgery of the Red Dahlia investigation continues. A spokesperson today admitted no progress in establishing the whereabouts of the murder suspect, Colonel Charles Wickenham, who slipped through the fingers of the police whilst being held in custody on his Pentworth estate. Wickenham was facing charges of brutally murdering flatmates Louise Pennell and Sharon Bill.
In the car.
How long has it been? A week? If we haven't found her by now, perhaps we never will.
Travis, who's at the wheel, glances at him.
It's just so hard to believe. It's like bloody Houdini.
When this comes to trial, we're going to look like complete arseholes.
Maybe he never left.
They exchange glances, their brows furrowed. At the estate in the main house, Travis picks up a picture of Edward as a schoolboy from a table of framed photos. She puts it back down.
Where is he?
They pace the dining room.
He can't have got outside. He had every inch of this place covered. We'd have picked him up.
She gazes up the narrow staircase.
Nobody saw him.
Justine's hanging lanterns from a string. Emily and Hedges are with her.
Oh, hold on! Oh, God!
Travis and Langton appear in the doorway and the mood turns somber.
When did the girls return to live here, Mrs. Hedges?
When I heard he'd been arrested, I got in touch with Justine.
But you must also have heard that he'd disappeared.
I think escaped is the word you're looking for. What are you trying to do? Cover your tracks because you can't find him?
No, it just seems very odd that you came back here and brought your sister.
Because the less time she spent in that shithole of a mental institution, the better.
Then why didn't you take her to your flat?
I have to look after the horses.
And what if your father were to come back?
He's not bloody likely to, is he? You've had the place swarming with police. He's not coming back. He's an intelligent man.
Right, so you know where he is?
No, I don't.
Travis and Langton look at one another, puzzled.
Mrs. Hedges, you were in your bedroom throughout the search, is that correct?
Yes. But when I went to make a cup of tea.
What do you think she did? Hide him under a skirt?
Would you take Detective Travis up to your room, please, Mrs. Hedges?
Hedges looks down awkwardly, then gets up. Justine puts her arms around Emily. Travis follows Hedges out.
Excuse me.
This is the oldest part of the house, is that right?
Mm.
Hedges' room.
You said you had savings. You keep your money in here?
No, it's in a savings account. It's a lot. 70,000.
You ever give any money to Mr. Wickenham?
No, wouldn't give anything to him.
Travis picks up photos of Justine and Emily from on top of a chest of drawers.
Leave them alone. They're blameless. I'll be here to look after them. And she won't come back.
How can you be so sure?
Because I'll be here to protect them.
How do you mean?
Like I tried to when they were children.
But you failed. You know what he did to these two girls. You know what he did to Emily.
Yes. Yes. He took away her insides.
Hedges lumbers out of the room. Travis sets a photo of the girls back on the chest of drawers. She starts to pace around the room. Langton stands in a hall that has many old portraits hanging on the walls. He sucks on a cigarette and eyes the paintings thoughtfully. In Hedges' room, Travis is gazing around. She balls a fist and puts her other hand over it. She looks down at the floor and notices a grate. She flicks the grate open with her shoe. She flicks it shut again so the small holes are covered. She lowers herself into an armchair. Her eyes dart around as a thought occurs to her. She covers her mouth with her hand and gets up. She walks out of the room and down a few stairs. She crouches on the stairs. She tries to lift up a floorboard.
Travis?
Oh, shit.
She sucks her finger.
Splinter.
What is it?
There's an air vent. There's something. Give me a hand.
They pull at the floorboards.
Down here, maybe some kind of tunnel.
It stinks.
Langton lifts up the stairs. Underneath is the body of Charles Wickenham. His face is contorted. They recoil. Up lunch.
There we are.
Oh, shepherd's pie.
Travis steps into the room.
Can you all please stay here in the kitchen?
Travis leaves. Hedges and Justine look worried, but Emily smiles and takes the ketchup.
They found him. You did nothing. Oh, no. That's enough!
Hedges takes Justine's hand. Two Sockos are crouched by the body.
Excuse me, gentlemen.
The Sockos get up as Travis gets back.
I think the mechanism must have accidentally locked, and that's why I couldn't get out.
Accidentally.
Justine comes in, her arms folded.
Is this your father, Charles Henry Wickenham?
Why is his mouth open like that?
Is this Charles Henry Wickenham?
She runs towards him.
Yes, that's him, the bastard!
She stamps on her dead father's head until Travis and Langton pull her away. In the kitchen, they all sit round the table. Hedges looks at Travis.
You must have known about the cellar. Maybe not the priest hall.
You don't understand, do you? Hear? See? Speak? Nothing. From the size. We knew there was a cellar in the chapel. Ask this old, it's obvious.
That's where he took me.
Oh, no. No. Oh, my dear. You're safe. I'm here.
Oh. Hedges embraces Emily.
Mrs. Hedges had to have closed up the air vents.
Yeah, no.
She must have heard him scrabbling around in there. Sound will probably haunt her for the rest of her life.
They need her, the girls.
I can live with it.
What?
We keep it just between us.
Travis smiles and looks down. Langton makes off, but Travis puts out a hand to stop him. He turns back to her, and she leans forward and kisses him tenderly but passionately. Her lips linger on his. Eventually, she pulls away. He stares at her in shock.
Better get back.
She walks off, and Langton scratches his forehead. The narrow steps leading up to Hedges' room. The final few steps into her room underneath which the body of Charles was found. Hedges rocks back and forth in the chair in her room, staring into the distance. She closes the grate. ITFC audio description.